for fun now. And it's just pure fun. There's, you know, it's just great. And, you know, it is Father's Day, and we've talked a lot about the dads today. I'm not going to speak about fathers today, interestingly enough. But I do want to once again honor the dads here and to acknowledge them and to thank God for the wonderful men that are in this church family and who love well and take good care of their families. You are honored and you are blessed, and we thank you for that. But today, and I see Tammy back here. Tammy, I actually spoke last week at Praise Community Church over in Mesa City. And Tammy and Jason came over to hear me. And you know what? You're going to hear it again today. So yay you, Tammy. You get this twice. But we're going to talk today about a subject that probably, you know, it's intriguing to us. It's interesting to us. It probably also really scares us. And that that word is change. How many of you, when I say the word change, it brings a little, how about it brings excitement to your heart? How many of you, when I say the word change, it's an exciting word for you? How about when I say the word change, it's a scary word for you? I think it can be both, right? So we're going to do something here today. We're going to do a little experiment in light of the word change. And I'm going to have you get up, stand up. I know you just sat down, but bear with me, humor me here. Stand up, and I want you to just take 1 minute, and we're going to walk around the room. I want you to look at someone. I want you to shake their hand. If it's permissible, give them a hug. Tell them something nice. Give them a genuine compliment. Just walk around the room. Go. On your mark, set, now. Go. 1 minute. Go. Just be kind. Find someone to extend some kindness to. Find someone you feel really comfortable with. It doesn't have to be somebody you don't know. All right. Okay. I knew the risk here was that once we started, we'd never stop. All right, come on back in. Let's reel it back in. All right, everybody go ahead and take your seats. There's purpose in what we're doing here. You'll learn that in just a moment. So just, okay. Now, what we're going to do, and I love this so much, and I know I've done this before in years past, but it's worth repeating. I've got some, how many of you love church bulletin bloopers? How many of you, the church bulletin bloopers? I mean, we've had a few around here that we could have put in this list, but I'm going to read to you some church bulletin bloopers, and here they are, and that basically what that is, you know, church bulletins, you know, remember back in the day when you'd come into church, you'd get a little folded bulletin and tell you everything that's going on, and sometimes they made some real typos in those things. That was before spell check and all the kinds of things that we have today, but here we go. Church bulletin blooper number one, the fasting and prayer conference includes meals. Okay, that one wasn't any good. Forget that one. Here we go. The sermon this morning, Jesus walks on water. The sermon tonight, searching for Jesus. That one was better. Okay, I love this one. Here's a good one. Ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a great chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. Bring your husbands. All right, that was a good one. Okay, here we go. Don't let worry kill you off. Let the church help. For those of you who have children and don't know it, we have a nursery downstairs. You didn't know we had a nursery, not you didn't know you didn't have children. Okay, anyway, that one wasn't so great. Let's keep going here. At the evening service tonight, the sermon topic will be, what is hell? Come early and listen to our choir practice. All right. Yeah, let's see. How about this one? This is great. The low self-esteem support group will meet Thursday at 7 p.m. Please use the back door. And probably my all-time favorite, Weight Watchers will meet at 7 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church. Please use the large double door at the side entrance because you're on Weight Watchers. Come on, people. You got, all right. Okay. Well, all that. So what did we just do here? We had a little exercise. We got up. We greeted one another, we affirmed one another, we laughed a little, we talked a little, and you know what that just did? during that last minute and a half, 2 minutes, your brain actually changed. The feel-good endorphins, those hormones in your brain, those feel-good endorphins just increased, and your stress hormones just decreased. You just all experienced a positive change in your brain chemistry, and it kind of sets you up to have a better day. So the question is, why do we fear and resist change so much? What is it about us in our humanity that causes us to fear and resist change? And it could be because we fear the unknown, don't we? We fear what we don't know about, what we can't see, we fear sometimes. We fear the change of the unknown. What's it going to look like, Mariposa, when you graduate from high school next year and go away to college? Is that kind of a scary thought? Yeah, because it takes away all the familiar that you've experienced in your life so far, doesn't it? And so we fear the unknown. We also fear loss of control, don't we? My gosh, there are changes that happen in our lives, changes that happen in our world, changes that happen all around us that we have no control over. That can create a lot of fear. We have feelings of insecurity. Oftentimes we've had negative experiences with change, haven't we? How many of you have experienced changes in your life that just, they were hard? And they really were something that was life interrupting, maybe. Yeah, getting old. That's a change that we have no control over. And, we all, some of you that have heard us speak in years past, you've seen us do that expectation reality thing on the whiteboard. We put expectation at the top. We put reality at the bottom. And all the space in between those two, those expectation and reality, we experience fear. We experience pain. We experience frustration. And what happens if we don't know how to deal with that fear, that pain, and that frustration, we get angry. And so many times we live in this sense of agitation, this sense of this anger where we're just on edge all the time. We're feeling on edge because we have expectation about what life will bring us. We all have expectation. We have expectation about everything in life. And when things happen that aren't meeting our expectation, when we experience changes in our lives that don't meet our expectation of what life will bring, it can cause us to live in this kind of sense of agitation or this sense of anger. Anybody ever had their expectations not meet their reality? Anybody ever been married? Anybody ever had kids? Remember before you had kids? How many of you have kids? Remember what you were like before you had kids? Remember how annoyed you'd be with other people's kids? Because your kids were never going to behave like that. Your kids were going to behave at the grocery store. Your kids were never going to throw a fit on the floor of Walmart because they didn't get the candy they wanted. Because you would never allow your child to do things like that, right? And then you have kids, and they're all, you know what it's like. So let's flip this. So anyway, we've had negative experiences with change, and so we're just really afraid of the whole subject. I've heard so many of us say over the years, I don't want things to change. I like things just the way they are. But let's flip this to the positive a little bit, and let's find God's blessing in change. Because there is a tremendous amount of blessing in change. Somebody said once, and I believe it's true, that change is the evidence of life. Things are constantly changing. Our bodies are constantly changing. Our world around us is constantly changing. There are ebbs and flows of seasons of time and seasons of life. And Ecclesiastes 3 says, to everything there is a season. In other words, to everything changes. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. And it goes on to say that God makes everything beautiful in his time. So even in a season of great change, I love summer. I love summer in Clear Lake. There's nowhere I would rather be than summer in Clear Lake. But every year, about September 1st, the air feels a little crisper. The leaves start turning a little yellow. And I go into this really, I get sad. I'm thinking, I have to remind myself every September 1st, okay, summer is not officially over until September 21st. I still got 3 weeks left. Summer is not over. But you sense the change coming. But in God's world, he says to everything there is a season, and he makes everything beautiful in its time. There's a beauty in every season of our lives if we allow God to show us what that is. if we'll look for it and embrace it. 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18 says, in the New Living Translation, it says, this is why we never give up. Everybody say, this is why I never give up. I think we heard something about this at this morning. I think Zella told us God will never give up on us. Well, we don't have to give up either. Paul said, this is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, well, that's encouraging. We're experiencing another big change. I don't know why we do this to ourselves. It's a sickness. I'm sure it's diagnosable. I haven't officially been diagnosed, but we keep doing things to ourselves to make life more difficult. So just recently, we bought a house that needs a lot of work. And we're selling our acreage over here next door. And we bought a house that needs a whole bunch of work. And so we have thrown ourselves into a world of chaos. And so the other day, Dave and I were doing something, and he looked at me and he goes, you know, you're not very strong. He said, but I love you anyway. And I thought, at first I thought, well, yes, I am strong. And I thought, no, I'm not. I am not strong anymore. I used to be kind of strong. I mean, I could, like, you know, pick up heavy things and carry them around. I am not very strong anymore. Although our bodies are dying, Paul said, though our bodies are, you know, the inevitable, none of us are getting out of this thing alive. It's inevitable. But here's the good part. Here's the God part. Our spirits are being renewed, changed every day. Wow. For our present troubles are small. All these things we're experiencing on life, all these changes that we're experiencing from day to day, they're small and they won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. This is the good news. It will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Yes, we do. But, you know, Paul's exhorting us not to. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze. Mindy talked about it last week. Are we glancing at our problems and gazing on Jesus, or are we glancing at Jesus and gazing upon our problems? I love that. That was brilliant. But so here Paul says, we fix our gaze, the long haul, the big look, the long look on things that cannot be seen, the things of the Spirit. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. The things we see now will change. It's inevitable, and the more we fight against it, the more frustrated we get, the more angry we get. 2 Corinthians 5:17, another super familiar portion of Scripture, says, therefore, Paul says, therefore, because of this, if any person is in Christ, he is a new creation, changed, completely changed. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Supernatural, wonderful change. There is great blessing in change. We need to embrace change. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says this, therefore I urge you, this is Paul speaking, brothers and sisters, that's us, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, this thing that we just read about that's, you know, decaying day by day, this earth suit that we all live in, to present these bodies, dedicating ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed and progressively changed. See, there's a super positive thing about change. We look at change, and for some reason, we want to focus on the negative. We want to focus on the things we can't control. We want to focus on the things that scare us. But God says that change is good because we, as we present our bodies to the Lord, we are transformed and progressively changed as we mature spiritually by the renewing of our minds, so that we may prove for ourselves what is the will of God, what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of His for us. It's, are we gazing on the unseen? James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no change. Let that just sink in for a minute. There is no shadow. He is perfect and never changes. So, you know, when we're overwhelmed with life, when we're overwhelmed with what's going on in our own life personally, when we're overwhelmed with what we see going on collectively, when we're overwhelmed with what we see happening in the world, when we're overwhelmed with all the things that we have no control of and that scares us and that gives us this sense of unsettling and this sense that we're lost somehow, stop and look at the one who never changes. It says there's not even any shadow in him. Pure light. There's not even any shadow or shifting of turning. He is perfect and he never changes. And because he never changes, Romans 8, 38 and 39 says this. Paul speaking again, he says, I'm convinced. Paul is talking in the most positive senses. He is 100% absolutely without a doubt. He is convinced. And if anybody ever experienced change that would scare you, it's Paul. I mean, that man went through it. And much of the letters that he wrote to the church, that he wrote to us as the body of Christ, he wrote from a place of imprisonment. And I'm telling you, it wasn't the, you know, country club federal prison that we make jokes about today. This was a rough place he was. This was a hard place he was. This was a place of lack, a place of want, a place of probably torture and despair and all kinds of things. But Paul wrote this. He said, I am convinced. He was convinced, and we can be convinced, regardless of the circumstances in our life, that nothing, everybody say nothing. You know, that word is translated literally nothing. Sometimes we try to get way complicated in this stuff, but that means nothing, not a thing, no thing. Nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Nothing. And he goes on to explain that even further. He says, neither death nor life, whether this body lives or dies, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above nor in the earth below. Indeed, nothing, everybody said nothing, no thing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord, who never changes. That will never change. You know, that's my favorite funeral scripture. You know, I mean, in my years of pastoral ministry, I've been to lots of funerals. I've officiated many funerals. I'm telling you, that is my favorite one, because it doesn't matter what's going on in this world. It doesn't matter what we're experiencing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Because he never changes. So that begs the question, how can I change without fear? And I think if we're all being honest and we all just think about our lives for a minute, you know, and we just try to pinpoint one change that we've been experiencing or are experiencing or know we will experience, it's scary to us. And I think we could probably all come up with something. Couldn't we? You know, I think there's a fear that happens as people get older. This fear of the unknown. I remember, and I don't want to sound morbid, but, you know, we're talking about change and we're talking about things that maybe we are afraid of. And we're talking about things that how we can face change without fear. But I remember when I was a very young woman and my grandmothers were still alive. And, you know, I was probably in my 20s, you know, at the ripe old age, maybe of 25 or 26, and thought I knew everything there was to know about life, you know. And I remember my grandmas being really sad at different times because some of their friends were passing away. And I would think, oh, well, that's no big deal. Everybody gets old and died. Well, that's how I felt at 25, okay? Well, then I got a little bit older, and my mom started to get elderly, and some of her friends started passing away. And then I even thought, well, you know, that's a long time off for me because I'm only 45. I'm only 50. I've got lots and lots and lots of years ahead of me. And now all of a sudden, I'm the oldest generation in my family. I'm the matriarch, so to speak. My older sister says, we're the matriarchs now, we make the rules. We don't really, nobody pays any attention to them. Well, we could try, but nobody pays attention to them. But the point is that as life progresses, as life changes, as things change as the days go by, I think at a certain age you start to think, holy cow, I'm now quickly approaching that age that I just kind of poo-pooed when I was 25 because I thought, oh, I've got, you know, years and years ahead of me. But there are certain a level, there's a fear of the unknown that's attached to all that. So how can I face change without fear? So think about a change you're facing in your life and how maybe that brings fear to you. But how can I face change without fear? Well, be aware that you can change. We just read in Romans 12 that as we present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, that we can be changed or transformed by the renewing of our minds. And that's a process that never has to end. That's a process that we can live in. That can be a positive forward motion for the rest of our lives until we meet Jesus face to face. That giving our bodies to God, giving our lives to God on a continual basis so that our minds can be renewed, can be transformed, so that we can walk in a greater sense of peace, a greater sense of joy, a greater sense of knowing and sensing his presence, so that our minds, our soulish realm can be changed on a continual basis. That's a very positive way to look at change without fear. We can change as we present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. Number two, acknowledge the presence and power of the Holy Spirit and be humble enough to ask for help. You know, we winter because I don't like, remember how I like summers in Clear Lake? Well, you know, for about 62 years, I also wintered in the Midwest. And after about 62 years, I thought, you know, I've wintered in the Midwest enough. We're going to Arizona. So anyway, we have a house now in Sun City. So now we winter in Arizona and Sun City. It's a wonderful thing. And we get lots of company in Sun City. Matter of fact, you know, the first couple years we were there, we invited everybody, come on down and visit us. Well, so many people took us up on it that we don't invite anybody anymore because, you know, we got so much company that we were just inundated with people all the time. But in that, and they were great people, and we had a great time, but in that, we made lots of trips back and forth to the airport, the Phoenix Airport. It's about 20 miles from our house, and we know the way to the Phoenix Airport. We could probably drive to the Phoenix Airport blindfolded. We know that you get out of our neighborhood, you get on the 101, you hit the 10, you go under the tunnel, you hit exit 49, airport exit, and if traffic is cooperating, you're there in about a half hour. If traffic's not cooperating, it's an hour and a half. But anyway, so we know how to get to the Phoenix Airport, but here's something I do every time we get in the car to go to the Phoenix Airport. I set my GPS for the Phoenix Airport. Well, why would I do that when I know the way to the airport? We know how to get to the airport. We know how to do this. We've had lots of experience with this. Well, the reason I set my GPS is because Waze, Google Maps, Apple Maps, whoever you use, they have this wonderful ability to keep you from all of the speed bumps, roadblocks, accidents, traffic stops, road construction. And, you know, you can just think, I know the way. I know how to do this. I don't need any help. I got this I got this Phoenix Airport thing figured out. And you just ignore the GPS, and before you know it, you are in a holdup that can last you hours because there's a terrible accident, there's road construction, they're diverting traffic. I mean, anything can be happening between our house and that 20 miles to the Phoenix Airport, but Google Maps, aka the Holy Spirit, if you get my drift, knows how to keep me from every obstacle that may get in my way between my house and the Phoenix Airport. So even though I know the way this should go, I got this life thing figured out. I know which way to go. I've been through this before. This is old stuff to me. I know how to do this. The Holy Spirit, if you ask him, can keep you from a lot of messes along the way. Acknowledge the presence and power of the Holy Spirit and be humble enough to ask for help. How can I face change without fear? God, I don't know what's happening here. This is something I have encountered road construction. I have encountered a speed bump. I have encountered an accident. I have encountered which way do I go now? Lead me and direct me. Pride refuses to ask for help. But when we ask the Holy Spirit for help, he knows what lies ahead, and he can help us face this change without fear. And often that requires a change of course. So be willing to change course. The Holy Spirit will lead us to truth. Now listen to this. The devil shouts lies. The Spirit whispers truth. Listen to the Holy Spirit. John 16:13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you. Wow. He will guide you. He will navigate you through the changes of life. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own initiative, but he will speak whatever he hears from the Father. And he will disclose to you what is to come. He will navigate us through these changes. How else can I face change without fear? We can pray. I love Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. It's probably, well, in the top five of all of my favorite scriptures in all of the Bible. And we know it. A lot of us could quote it. But basically it says, don't have any fear or anxiety about anything. Don't be afraid of the future. Don't be afraid of the changes that are happening in your life. Don't be afraid of the changes that you see around you. Do not have fear or anxiety about anything, but instead pray specifically to God with a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving, and his peace will build a strong wall of protection around our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. I can face this life without fear because I can take those things that are bothering me. I can take those things that I'm fearful about. I can take these circumstances over which I have no control, and I can one by one identify them, and I can give them to God, and I can thank him for meeting me and guiding me in every single one of those situations. And then the peace of God that passes understanding will build a strong wall of protection around my heart and around my mind in Christ Jesus. Wow. What else can we do? We can release control. 1 Peter 5:6-7, another familiar one, says, humble yourself in your own estimation under the mighty hand of God. Don't think you got this all figured out. Don't think you've got, you know the road. You can navigate your way. Don't think that, okay, I got this. I've done this before. I know how this goes. I don't need you, God. I got it. No, no, no. It says, humble yourself in your own estimation under the mighty hand of God, God who is always good, that in due time he may exalt you, casting all your care, throwing as far as you can all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns on him, because he cares about you and watches over you very carefully. Wow. If we just had an understanding of how closely he watches over us, how carefully he guards us and guides us. That is that just does away with fear when we know how closely he watches over us. Experience his love and comfort, because 1 John 4:18 says perfect love, his perfect love, dispels or casts out all fear. And recognize that God himself is creating opportunities for us to grow. He's creating opportunities to expand our lives. He's creating opportunities for us to be transformed. He's creating opportunities for us to go from glory to glory. God is doing that in our lives. 1 Chronicles 4:10, and we're going to close with this scripture. And it's a scripture that, again, many years ago, remember that book, the Prayer of Jabez? And boy, that was a worldwide phenomenon. And we did Bible studies on it, and we talked about it, and we read it, and we looked at it. And it was such a beautiful portion of scripture that had been so overlooked by so many for so long. But here's what it says. It's in 1 Chronicles 4:10. And Jabez cries out to God. And he cries out to God this, and this is a beautiful prayer. He said, God, that you would bless me and expand my borders. In other words, that you would create change. Jabez is asking God to create change in his life. Oh God, that you would bless me and that you would expand my borders, that you would change me and that your hand might be with me. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And keep me from evil so that it might not hurt me, this change that I'm experiencing, this border expanding that I'm experiencing, that it would not hurt me and that I might not hurt others with these changing and this border expanding and these life experiences that are beyond my control. And God granted his request. So I just want to encourage us today, and, you know, again, individually, we're all changing. Our lives are going through changes. Our relationships are going through changes. Our bodies are going through changes. our understanding of how life works is changing. Collectively, we're experiencing changes. There have been tremendous changes even within our church family. And spiritually, we're experiencing changes. The world itself is experiencing changes. But God's got this. I got this little bracelet a couple weeks ago, and I saw it. It says, God's got this, and I wear it every day. I have another one that says, Expect Miracles. I wore that one every day from the day Sky was diagnosed with cancer until very recently. I wore my Expect Miracles bracelet because I was expecting miracles, and I got them. But I look at this one, God's got this, and I'm like, yes, God's got this. I'm going to get old and die. But God's got this. I'm going to live forever with him, and I'm going to leave a legacy behind me. That's going to be a beautiful thing. God's got this. We don't have to be afraid. Individually, our families, our church family, the world that we live in, the bodies that we inhabit that are letting us down sometime, we don't have to be afraid. God's got this. So let's stand and let's pray. Father, we thank you that your love for us never changes, that your heart toward us never changes. God, regardless of what's going on around us or in us, God, you never change. You are always good. You always love us. You always care about us. You always are willing to be there to guide us and to protect us, God. As we just give our bodies as a sacrifice to you, God, you change us. You transform our minds. You transform our lives. You transform our relationships to look more like you. So God, today we choose to acknowledge and to recognize that we have feared many things in life, God. And we ask you, God, to expand our borders, God, to change our hearts, God, to heal the pain in our lives, God, that has caused us to be so fearful, that has caused us to not trust. And God, we thank you that you're guiding us and directing us and loving us and keeping us and watching over us and guarding us through every season of life. We just settle down in that today, in Jesus' name. Amen.